Welcome to Family Mission Podcast today. Sam and Mark here. We're glad that you're a part of the program.
A part of the conversation.
That's
welcome,
right.
Everybody. I'm going to try to talk in my lower register.
Try. Give them your good radio voice.
My radio voice. Unfortunately, I'm stuck here with a higher voice than the rest of everyone in the family, but, you know, it's what we got going on. We want to welcome you to the conversation.
That's right.
We're going to be talking today about divine reset.
That's right. Divine reset is a word. It's a truth, really, that's a big, big part of Family Mission. What Family Mission's all about is that you, your family, your marriage, you can experience a divine reset.
That's right. And if you guys heard any sort of explosion in the background, just so you guys know, we are recording on New Year's Eve.
Hello.
So people are getting very excited. We're about to reach 2021.
That's right.
We're right on the cusp. And we want to talk a bit, you know, New Year. A lot of people get ready to reset themselves at the year. And we thought this would kind of fit along with the time this is going to be released.
I think it fits perfect. And again, we're glad you're part of the conversation. And what's some other ways that they can get in touch with us?
Well, if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can always email us at spellmanministries@gmail.com. That is spellmanministries@gmail.com. You can get in touch with us that way. You can email us there, or you can check out our Facebook page.
That's right, Spellman Ministries on the Facebook. You can private message us there or on the Roar. R-O-A-R, Roar, Revealing Our Amazing Redeemer. That's your page, Sam.
That's right. And you can also check us out on Instagram at Spellman Ministries as well on Instagram. All one word. You can find us on there and message us. Follow us on there as well.
And don't forget to check out our website, spellmanministries.org.
There we go.
We'll recap some more of that later. But let's get into this topic, Sam, of divine reset. This is different than a resolution.
I think
so. Again, we're not necessarily coming against New Year's resolutions, but we just want to go a little higher with it. Because I believe that the truth of God's word takes us a little higher than just a resolve that we make, a personal resolve, just kind of discipline of, well, I'm going to change this about my life, or I'm going to lose some weight, or I'm going to save some money, or I'm going to start a new business. I mean, making a decision. When we're talking about divine reset, we're talking about something that God initiated.
That's
right. Something that God did, which is His grace that we respond to with our faith.
And it's something that he started. You know, and the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
In other words, He initiated it. He started it. He sent it out there. He sent His only Son as a seed. So, I mean, understanding that, it really changes the way, you know, we even view a resolution, if you will. You know, why am I changing this? Well, I'm actually responding to change that's been given to me.
That's right.
You know, whenever we read the Bible or we listen to teaching, or however Holy Spirit is speaking to us, the Lord speaks to us, you know, whenever there's people, fireworks explode, however that might be, whenever He talks to us, how we respond to that light. Then it becomes, that's what we're actually doing. You know, if I need a resolution or I need to resolve something, it's actually because God's first showed me what I need to fix.
So, okay, so let's break that down just a little bit. That's a powerful point. So dealing with even New Year's resolutions, what we should be doing, from what I hear you say, is we need to seek the Lord, because any real resolution that's going to work is going to be through partnership with Him.
That's exactly right.
It's going to be me finding out what He wants to adjust in my life, what He wants to maybe improve. Maybe He wants to launch something in my life, a business, a venture, a ministry project. Maybe it's personal, you know, lose some weight, and those kinds of things are always so common.
Yeah.
But I need to have God leading me in it, to where the resolution just isn't my determination, my self-will. It's my partnership through relationship with my Father, my Lord Jesus, and the person of Holy Spirit.
That's right. It's there you go. Bang.
Boom.
That's a different perspective, because I think a lot of times we can get subconsciously kind of tripped up because culture. You know, culture pushes this. And again, not to hate on any sort of resolution, but if you do read in the Bible in Matthew, I got this pulled up, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 33, it says, again, you've heard it said by the ancients, you shall not swear falsely. You know, but you shall fulfill your oaths to the Lord. But Jesus says this, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your own head, because you cannot make your hair white or black. But let your yes mean wow. yes, and let your no mean no. For whatever is more than this comes from the evil one.
My.
I think that really hits the topic of even resolutions, mm-hmm. New Year reset. You know, when we talk about reset, we're not talking about making an oath to yourself.
Right.
Or making some sort of promise that, I've got to do this.
That's right.
You know, see, the enemy's so sly with his deception because it sounds like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And culture even pushes it and it's like, hey, this is a good thing to do. You know, you should change this. You need to, you know, be better here.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the Lord is actually so personal with us that he will lead us
Amen.
Into what needs to change. And see, that's a part of a trusting relationship. And that'll actually reset things in our life. Because when the Lord is guiding us, he's graced it.
Amen.
And if he's graced it, that means he's covered it. And if he's covered it, we find out in the new covenant, that means he's actually completely given us innocence.
Yeah.
He's not just covering, he's completely replacing, restoring, and changing. So if I'm trying to do something out of my own will, mm-hmm. you know, I'm swearing by my own head. I swear by this time mm-hmm. next year, I'm going to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's like swearing by my own head,
yeah.
by my own will, my own do it, you know, instead of actually trusting in the Lord. If he's told me now, mm-hmm. this is different. If the Lord's told me, hey, you need to cut off the brownies,
and, mm-hmm.
you know, you need to back off the chocolate, back off the ice cream, you know, for instance, you know, or, you know, maybe you need to get some more sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to, you know, change your schedule. You know, do some things. You know, if the Lord's actually leading me somewhere, mm-hmm. then if I choose to do it, that's totally different.
And that's the thing. I love what Holy Spirit's already emphasizing in this conversation is it's all about relationship. It's all about letting the Lord lead the resolution.
Yeah.
Again, we're not attacking resolutions. We're just saying, let's just do it right.
That's exactly right.
Let's just do
right.
it with him. Let's let him lead. Let's let him guide. Because if it's going to get finished right, then he needs to author it.
There you go.
He's the author and the finisher of our faith.
I
and that's
agree.
What a resolution is, whether it's a New Year's resolution or throughout the year. You know, we have to resolve things and change things all throughout the year. I wish we could just make it once a year and we'd be good, but I probably might need to adjust something third week into January again.
I mean, you never know whenever something's going to hit. And see, I think it's all about keeping that relationship alive, because when we've really let the Lord, you know, whenever we're born again, when we really let the Lord reset mm-hmm. our life, you know, not just forgive us. Because I think a lot of times, because of how carnal a lot of our forgiveness has been, just because mm-hmm. it's fleshly. It's never actually, you know, brought into the light of how God truly forgives.
Yeah.
Because when God forgives, it's totally a resolve. It's it's the end.
He says in his word, your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more.
That's right, man. These fireworks are going everywhere.
Well, it's just celebration. This is some powerful, powerful truth, Sam.
Yeah.
In fact, in Colossians 1, I love reading this in the Passion. It says in verse 7, talking about this divine reset, talking about what is the gospel? Gospel means good news.
The good news.
So what is this good news and how good is it? Well, Colossians 1:7 says in the Passion Translation, it says, our beloved coworker, of course, Paul's writing, he's referencing Epaphras here.
Epaphras.
How do you like that name?
That's hefty.
I wonder if he was like Epi in junior high. Anyway.
Epaphras. That's a great name. We need to bring back some of these old Bible names.
Exactly.
You know, just, I mean, own it.
That's right. Our beloved coworker, Epaphras.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah, we might not even be pronouncing it right. was there from the beginning. Epaphras was there from the beginning to thoroughly teach you the astonishing revelation of the gospel.
Amen. The astonishing revelation. See, that jumps out at me in that, particularly in the Passion Translation, because the gospel is astonishing.
There you go.
It's not just, oh, I got some good news from the newspaper. You know, well, so-and-so won the ball game. Uh-huh. No, it's more than our favorite team winning. It's more than a championship win. It's more than a Super Bowl win. You know, we all lived many, many years in Kansas City. And, of
That's
course,
right.
Recently Kansas City pulled off the big one.
Yeah. And won pulled off the big one.
Won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Number 50, I think, which is even more cool. But, you know, hey, in fact, oddly enough, I didn't even really get to enjoy it lifetime. I was literally, now we're going down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
But anyway,
we'll get back to
Colossians 1:7. Were literally flying over the Atlantic.
Yeah, you guys were in a plane.
We were in a plane over the Atlantic somewhere all during that game.
Yeah, whole time. I was trying to send you updates and so through Wi-Fi and stuff.
When we landed and we hit touch ground in Barcelona, I turned on my Wi-Fi and I was like, ting, 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 ting.
I was giving him updates every single play, like the big plays. Oh, he threw a crazy pass and, you know, all those different things. And I think it's, you know, again, those things that so often can create what we would even say. That's astonishment or amazement.
That's
or,
a big deal.
You know,
big accomplishment.
I mean, that's like a big accomplishment. Well, if that's a big accomplishment, how much greater? It's like we almost need sometimes different words to describe the gospel, because so much of the words that you even read in the Bible, you know, a lot of these words have kind of lost their meaning because people use them so loosely.
Yep. They say the word awesome for anything. The hamburger was awesome. The movie was awesome.
It's awesome.
And then we go to church and sing that God is awesome. And it's just...
You can't put them on the same level, but you do subconsciously.
But we do, exactly. And so... that's just why I particularly like the astonishing revelation of the gospel. That's Colossians 1:7. But, you know, we're talking about divine reset. So I want to go on down in the chapter.
That's right.
To verse 20, because this is where we get this imagery from Scripture of a divine reset. What did God do?
Yeah.
By sending his son.
What actually happened?
What is the gospel? What is the good news? You know, we just recently celebrated the birth of Jesus around Christmas time. And, you know, that's a special time of year. But again, his life meant something. His life had a purpose. Jesus knew his purpose. And he knew his life was going to redeem something.
That's
his
right.
life was going to accomplish something. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We may look at that here in a little bit too, but let's look at Colossians 1:20.
Yeah.
It says this in Colossians 1:20, again, reading the Passion, says, by the blood of his cross.
Woo, here we go.
Everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself.
Wow.
Back to its original intent and restored to innocence again.
And see, it's really powerful, even if you're reading it, actually, when it says back to its original intent, it's actually italicized.
Hmm.
It's like giving emphasis.
Yeah.
I mean, back to its original intent or purpose, and then restored to innocence. See, when we're born again, I think a lot of times, you know, again, divine reset, new year, you know, everyone talks about, I want to be a new me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you want to be a new me? Because there's things in our lives that are dead.
Yeah.
But see, for the only way for us to actually begin to walk out and leave those dead things behind, we got to see something to grasp onto.
Yeah.
We got to have a direction. We got to have a vision.
We got to see the reality of the new creation.
We got to see what we really got.
Yeah.
You know, if you have, for instance, if I'm hungry and I want to get something to eat, if I, you know, am walking by, say I'm out running some, say I'm out on a walk. Okay, I'm just out, you know, walking around town, going around, walking, you know, throughout different things, just taking a nice walk, maybe spending some time with the Lord, maybe just listening to music. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just taking a walk. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm walking down the street and I see, I don't know, the good old Mickey D's, right? Just right down the side. So I see Mickey D's and I have the thought, I'm hungry. You know, I've been walking for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working up a sweat, kind of hungry, kind of want a cheeseburger. You know, it just kind of hits at the, you know, at the right, that's probably not the right food, but for the sake of illustration, bear with me. I see this McDonald's, you know, if I don't know how much money I have, I'm going to be much more hesitant to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know if, you know, if I'm, you know, not sure, well, did I bring my wallet? I don't know if I brought my wallet on the walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a hesitation, well, I know I have a wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have money. You know, I know God's a good God.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have money. But I don't know if I have it on me.
There you go.
I don't know if it's actually a part of me, if it's with me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I know I have my wallet and I feel Yeah. My wallet's in my back pocket. I know I keep it same spot. So you guys know I keep my wallet in my back pocket. Wallet in my back pocket. I know it's there. I'm ready. And I know I just went to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I spent time with the Lord.
Yeah.
I read the word. I know what's in. I got stuff out of my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
I got cash. And I can go over to that McDonald's. I'm going to be much more proactive in actually going over there,
mm-hmm.
going to the McDonald's, getting what I want, you know, getting the food, you know, getting something to eat. You know, I'm going to walk as a person who has money because mm-hmm. I know I got it.
Amen.
You know, and I think if we don't realize the true revelation and what we've really got, I've mm-hmm. been restored to innocence again.
Yeah.
That's like real. I got hundreds in my back pocket, you know, realizing I got Benjamins back there. I got all these, you know, the wealth that I actually have. If we let Holy Spirit really reveal this to us that we're a new creation, that totally changes how we go about life.
That allows really the resolution, what was resolved through the life of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, the full work of his life, what was accomplished, what was resolved by that, what resolution occurred because of that, that becomes the foundation or the seed for all future resolutions that we're going to need to make, because all of our life grows out of that truth, that seed that was planted through the gospel when we believed on Jesus. By the blood of his cross, everything that includes you and me, and includes everything about our lives.
All of our flesh, too. I mean, everything in this body. I mean, all the things we deal with,
mm-hmm.
our mental, our mind,
will, emotions, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, and restored to innocence again. So there has been a resolution. In fact, there's another passage here. I'm going to pull it up here real quick. It's in Hebrews chapter 9.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 9, and I believe it's verse 10. Hebrews chapter 9, verse...
You go ahead and go there. I got another one.
Okay.
This is so cool. You know, I don't know if you ever get into really digging into the Word and, you know, taking the time to get into it. I mean, it's like Holy Spirit. You'll start getting scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be like, bam, bam. You're like, oh, this one's connected to that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like whenever you're a kid, it's like the hand bone's connected to the arm bone, you know, and like the foot bone. I don't know if you guys ever did that when you were a kid, but that's kind of what I think about, you know, this scripture's connected because it's all. Why? Jesus said, I am the Word made flesh.
That's right.
So it's like you literally are like connecting the hand bone to the arm bone over here when you're reading the Word of God.
Jesus is on, he's on every page.
There you go. All right, Hebrews.
And I'm sure some of you have some scriptures sparking in your heart, too. I mean, you know.
That's right.
Your faith in Jesus, your walk with the Lord. I mean.
Things he's whispered to you.
These truths are, I'm sure, provoking and stirring things in your own heart and your own faith. But, yeah, I want to go to Hebrews 9 because it's still the same idea of what was accomplished through the gospel.
Man, the timing of those fireworks. Anytime something good is said, it's like, pow, 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 pow. Hey, everyone, it's Sam here. Just jumping in the middle of the show. Just wanted to give you guys a short little thank you for joining us on the show. Thank you for listening to the Family Mission Podcast. It is such a blessing to have you guys here, to have you guys listening. And if we want to keep that conversation going, we want to keep it up, not just between us, but between us and you, the listener. So if you want to get in touch with us in any way, you can email us at spellmanministries@gmail.com. Again, that is spellmanministries@gmail.com. Also, you can check out our social media. We have a Facebook page, Spellman Ministries on Facebook. We also have an Instagram, Spellman Ministries. And we have a Twitter. The Twitter is the only one that's a little bit different. It is Spell Ministries, @Spell Ministries, S-P-E-L-L Ministries. You can find us on Twitter that way as well. So yeah, that's all of our social medias. You can follow us on and keep in touch with us. Also, check out our website, spellmanministries.org. You can check out our website. There's plenty of resources on there for you guys. We'll probably mention a couple of them on the show off and on. You guys can find them on our website, spellmanministries.org. You can check them out there. And again, we're going to get right back into the show. I'm not going to keep you guys too much longer, but we're going to get into some good stuff coming up here. So with all that being said, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening. And let's get right back into it. Hebrews 9, sorry.
Verse 10. It's saying, in I'm reading in the Amplified in this particular verse, Hebrews 9:10, the ceremonies talking about Old Testament ceremonies, all the rituals. They simply dealt with clean and unclean meats, drinks, and different washings, mere external rules. Mm. Now, that's really the key phrase there.
Yeah.
The Old Testament was dealing with mere external rules.
External rules.
Regulations for the body.
Yeah.
It was imposed to tide worshipers over until the time of setting things straight. See, the Old Testament had a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, and that was the form of worship. And it was very physical, and it was imposed upon worshipers until the time, Amplified brings out, of setting things straight, of reformation, which is this kind of this idea of resolution, reformation.
Reset, reformed.
Reset, reformed. It's a complete new order when Christ the Messiah actually establishes the reality of what all those things foreshadowed, this better covenant.
And see that right there, this better covenant. Yeah. I mean, that'll set you in so much peace, you know, knowing what you've been given.
Yeah.
I've got this better covenant, a perfect covenant. And it just, you know, the biggest thing that it requires is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the big things, I mean, if you want to say like, oh, this is, what should I do? You know, well, where do I start? Start with consistency.
Yeah.
Start with keeping what you know already. Yeah. You know, if this is something, this is some really good wisdom that I've received. And it's, this is so good. This wisdom is that, you know, whenever I can't hear the voice of the Lord, whenever I'm not clearly hearing God, clearly discerning anything from the Lord, feeling anything from the Lord, I mean, whenever I feel like I'm in a rock and a hard place and God is nowhere to be around, you know, even though I know in my head, well, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's created everything, but he doesn't feel close to me, you know?
You're just not feeling it.
You're just not feeling it, you know what I'm saying? Or you're not aware.
Yeah.
You know, your mind, you're going through your day, but you're not really thinking about God. You're not thinking about the Lord. You're not thinking about different things like that. So when I'm in that place, or if I've ever gotten to that place, some wisdom I heard was always go back to the time you last know for sure that you heard God speak to you.
There you go.
Or you read something that stood out to you in the Bible. You know, those things. I mean, that's God speaking to you. When you're reading the scriptures and something, you know, almost lifts off the page, is highlighted, makes sense, all of a sudden clicks, you have a light bulb pop up.
The aha moment.
You know, exactly. Whenever that happens, you need to go back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go back to that point, I need to start from there. And that's when I can pick up my conversation with the Lord. And then I can begin to hear again. You know, if there's ever a dry spot, I mean, I encourage you guys, as we're going into this new year, if there's anything last year that we missed, that we, you know, maybe got too busy, got distracted. I mean, all of us, I'm not excluding myself in this. I mean, there's times where I got distracted this last year. I mean, go back. Let's go back to that place where God last spoke to us, where we know that we know that we know, or the last revelation we got, the last truth that made sense to us. I mean, whatever it is, go back to that and let's meditate on those things and ponder those things and bring those things back to our remembrance. See, when Jesus gave us communion, why did he give it to us? He said, do this in remembrance of me.
That's right.
So that we might remember that his flesh was broken, his blood was spilled.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's something he gave and says, do it in remembrance. In other words, you got to keep yourself. He wouldn't say do it to remember if you didn't have to do it to remember.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't something that was going to be kind of part of your everyday life, you're saying, do this and make sure you're remembering. In other words, keep it at the forefront.
In other words, he knew our propensity to forget.
There you go.
He already knew that. He factored that in so that he made the reminder. He made the encouragement. In fact, something you were saying, Sam, there's a scripture in, of course, this is just a conversation and I didn't have time to even think about it, but in the Psalms it says, in his light we see light. So the principle there is, if we just focus on what we don't know, what we don't see, what we're not hearing, we're focusing on darkness and we're going to go into greater darkness.
Yeah.
But if we back up, like you're saying, go back to the last thing, the last revelation you got, the last highlight or insight or kind of aha moment with God, the last time you knew, you felt that closeness to him, go back to that place because that's a place of light.
Exactly.
Focus on that light.
Yeah.
And in his light, you'll see light. But if the enemy can trick us into just focusing on what we don't know, we don't see, we don't hear, the negative, then we're just, it's just the past just going to get darker and darker and darker. But if we go back, because that is such a good reminder, Sam, that if we go back to something we have heard, something we are clear on, something that was clearly a revelation, an insight, a illumination for our heart, that light is actually going to become a place where we get more light.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, I mean, and see that again, pushing into those things. Divine reset. Mm-hmm. You know, resetting different things in our lives. You know, not just letting it be a one-off thing.
Yeah.
I think that's something, too, that, you know, gets involved. You know, we do, for instance, we'll do these resolutions, and then what, we forget by February? They're long gone. Maybe even after the first week. I mean, they're dead and gone. You know? I was going to do this, and then, you know, you're a week in, and you've already forgotten what half the resolutions were. So, I mean, I think, again, like you said, the propensity to forget, Jesus kept that into account. Yeah. He's given us all the tools we need. He's prepared us. He loves us. He's with us. Mm-hmm. He sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. He's in heaven.
Yeah.
But he's with us through Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to make sure to clarify that. It's not like Jesus just hovering on my shoulder. He's up in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father. But Holy Spirit, by whom he's one with, he's close with, he's in covenant with, he is now speaking to us, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Is.
Jesus spoke about it in the book of John where he said, I'm going to go away. But it's kind of interesting. He told him, he said, now I'm going to leave. He said, but it's going to be to your advantage that I go away. And that, of course, was like a bomb dropped in the room. They could not imagine how life would get better with him leaving. It didn't make sense.
Yeah.
That was why they got so confused around the crucifixion.
What's going on, man?
But he explained it. He tried to explain it to him. He said, because if I go, I'm going to send another comforter. That he will be with you. In other words, he'll be with you just like I'm with you. And the beauty of Holy Spirit being our comforter is that we don't have to be. Jesus was one man in one place.
That's true.
This is one way it's better. We don't all have to live in Jerusalem.
There you go.
And just hang out in Galilee. I mean, we can live in Houston, Kansas City, Spain, Panama, Argentina,
France,
Canada, wherever. You can live wherever.
Alaska.
And you can know God.
That's right.
And you can walk with God. Holy Spirit makes that possible because he's able to be with us all, no matter where we are. And that's not the only way it's better, but it's one of the many ways.
It's a nice little highlight.
It's definitely better.
That's awesome.
But he was preparing us to
receive. That is awesome, by the way.
That is awesome.
That's a good use of the word awesome. That's awesome.
That's a true awesome. But no, he used the word comforter, and he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. In the Greek, it talks about not just another comforter. If you imagine like a bag of fruit or a bowl of fruit, you know, you can have another piece of fruit, but it can be a different kind of fruit. Or you can have another piece of fruit that's the same kind of fruit. And that's what Jesus was describing. He said, I'm not just going to give you another comforter that's going to be different than
like,
me.
I'm an apple and I'm going to give you a banana.
But I'm going to give you a banana. No, he said, I'm going to give you another comforter of the same kind.
He'll
be with
that's
you.
Good.
Just in other words, if you compare it to like an apple, I'm going to give you another apple.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you another piece of fruit. Generally, I'm going to give you another comforter that's just like me.
Wow.
Only the benefit is he'll be with you all.
And see, I have a wonderful, this is awesome how Holy Spirit leads this conversation. I tell you what. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a little segment. And if you go to, let's see, around verse 15, I'll just start here. It says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved going through the fire, right? Okay, verse 16, this is what I wanted to hit. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God dwells in you? Right there. Just
awesome.
Statement. Boom. He goes on continuing in chapter 6. He brings it back up. And whenever he's talking about fleeing sexual immorality, he says, verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Again, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and that you are not your own? In other words, whenever we're born again, when I'm reset, I no longer am my own.
That's right.
So, in other words, if I'm not my own, then why would I think that my self-will, my self-desire, my self-motivation is going to even work?
That's right.
If I'm literally not my own anymore, then why would my own things work on me anymore?
Exactly.
It's like if you got a car and the title on that car is yours, but then all of a sudden that title changes, that's not your car anymore.
Right.
that's somebody else's car. And you can do all you want. They get the keys changed. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work anymore. You can put the key in, mm-hmm. and you can really try to, I mean, get it going, but it's not going to go because that car is no longer yours.
So what you're saying is the title name, the name on the title is changed.
That's right.
For us. When we're born again, there's a new name on us, and it's the name. It's no longer, I'm no longer authoring things myself, and that's why the power of these resolutions we're talking about, we have to let God author them.
Yeah, because he's got the title.
He's got the title. Wow. He owns us now. And I love what you said, you know, these two scriptures, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, both passages talk about, even 2 Corinthians 6 talks about it, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I'm quite sure this is what Paul was referring to in Colossians when he said about Epaphras, who was there to teach you the astonishing revelation of the gospel.
In other words, and see, then again, whenever we use the name of Jesus, what does that mean? I'm exercising the title that mm-hmm. I got now.
That's right.
In other words, the title that's on me, you know, the Lord sees me as he sees Christ, mm-hmm. as his own son. You know, so when I boldly approach the throne, you know, I think it's either first, it's the beginning mm-hmm. of 1st or 2nd Corinthians in the one of the letters. Because a lot of times when I read them all at once. So like it's real bad because I'll be reading Corinthians and be like, it's in 1st Corinthians somewhere. But it's in the first one or it's in the second one because I read them all at one go because they're a letter. Uh-huh. You know, so sometimes I don't always just read one chapter, but I'll actually read the entire thing. So it's either in the beginning of 1st Corinthians or the beginning of 2nd Corinthians where he talks about boldly approaching the throne. It's mm-hmm. chapter 2 of one of them. And he says, boldly approach the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, why am I boldly approaching? Because I'm under Christ.
Yeah.
I'm submitted to him, but I'm also under his protection, his authority, mm-hmm. and the Lord sees me as he sees Christ.
Amen.
You know, so it says if we're seated in heavenly places alongside Christ, what does that mean? Well, how am I even there?
Yeah.
Because Christ is my covering. And if you go to Genesis chapter 1, well, is it chapter 1?
What's that?
Well, where it talks about how, no, it's like chapter 1, 2, and 3. Again, I read these things all at once, so it's hard to break them up into chapters.
And actually, the verse you were quoting earlier, is it? Hebrews 4.
Hebrews 4. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
It was Hebrews 4. I thought it was in Corinthians.
No, Hebrews 4, 16.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me that. I was thinking it was the veil's been removed. I'm thinking that was in, I don't know where it was.
1 Corinthians 3 talks
that's
about
what I was. That's what I was thinking about. That's where I was going with it. It's awesome. I need to just read like one little segment because uh-huh. I'll read like this whole, and then the stuff that highlights, mm-hmm. then I'll get stuff that connects. You know, I'll see how different things connect. Well, I read three books in the last 30 minutes or an hour. I've just kind of read straight through uh-huh. or I put the audio Bible on.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a good tool. Those audio Bibles were, you know, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Some of these audio Bibles and these resources that people have, you know, where we can listen, or podcasts,
mm-hmm.
stuff like this.
There you go.
You know, that they you know, people give
and by
us.
By the way, we're glad you're listening today.
That's right. We're
glad you're part of the conversation and that you're listening. But real quickly, what's the passage in Genesis you were talking about?
Well, in Genesis, in the very beginning here, I'm going to work myself over there. I got to talking here. In Genesis chapter, let's look here. Well, in the beginning, I'll paraphrase it here real quick, and then we can look at it in a second. In Genesis, when God made man,
mm-hmm.
whenever Eve sinned, she ate the apple, right? She was not affected.
Right.
Right? It wasn't like she instantly realized, I'm naked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm exposed. I'm vulnerable. She was completely protected for some mm-hmm. reason. And you think, well, that's kind of weird. It wasn't until Adam ate. Their eyes were open.
That's right. Because she was still under Adam's authority.
Exactly.
And Adam was the one who got the instructions from God.
Exactly.
He was the one who communicated those truths to his wife. And so when she ate, she was still under his covering, under his authority. And it wasn't, it's in Genesis 3, by the way.
There we go, Genesis 3.
It wasn't until he ate the fruit that their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked, they hid, and the whole thing went down. But that's a powerful truth, Sam. She was still under the covering and the protection of the relationship, the covenant relationship with her husband, Adam.
And she was under his title.
Exactly.
You know, even today, whenever someone gets married, what happens? Well, the woman takes the man's name.
Exactly.
Why does she take it? Well, her title changes.
That's right.
She's, in other words, she's now underneath. So like your Mr. and Mrs. Mm-hmm. Mark Spellman.
That's right.
When people are talking about you and mom, mm-hmm. they'll even say Mark Spellman.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Mark Spellman. I mean, so in other words, the title is you're the one that's got the title.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we understand our relationship with Jesus, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up the conversation today, our relationship with him, our reset,
right,
is directly tied to the fact that by faith and grace,
yeah,
I'm saved and I've got a title change.
That's right. We've been given his name. That's why when we pray,
yes,
I mean, it's not just something we do ritualistically. It's not something we just do because it's the thing to do. There's real, real powerful meaning in the fact that we pray, make all petitions, all declarations in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus. Because then that's highlighting the relationship. It's highlighting the covenant relationship, the covenant connection, that just like Eve was under the covering of her Adam, we're under the covering of the last Adam.
There you go.
Jesus Christ. And so
that's right.
Praise the Lord. You know, this has been a really good conversation, Sam.
This really has. And again, it all ties back to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because then whenever Jesus says, as you know, the Bible says we're like the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I'm the bride, he's the husband.
Hello.
So he's my husband, Jesus.
That's right.
All right, I'm not trying to make it a weird gender thing. It's not a gender thing. It's a position thing. It's an
position,
authority change.
It's a covenant thing.
It's a covenant authority thing. He's telling me and he's leading me through Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? He says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit who's the same. He's mm-hmm. of the same as me, same cloth, same
every, right.
We're cut from the same cloth. He's going to lead you as
Amen.
I led you. You know, but we're close, and so we follow him. And as he leads us and says, hey, I want you to change this.
Yeah.
As we're hitting this new year, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to start doing this. I want you to stop doing this. I mm-hmm. want you to, you know, spend more time with me. Maybe spend more time with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Again, family mission. Spend more time with your kids this year. Spend mm-hmm. more time with your wife, with your husband this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot out time. I mean, whatever it might be that God's speaking to you, but whenever Jesus is speaking to you, whether it's through his word,
right,
through the still small voice,
mm-hmm.
through teaching, through other people, ministers, the ministry gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever it is, however he's speaking to you, we need to make sure that we respond to that.
That's right.
And then our life and the problems will get resolved mm-hmm. as we respond.
And let me leave you with this last encouragement. The greatest grace is going to be upon that word God gives you. Whether that word, everything Sam just described, whether it's to adjust this, change this, start this, stop that. When God speaks and when God gives direction, there's going to be grace that comes with that instruction. Just like when he told Peter, come out of the boat. That one word, come, had the grace on it to allow Peter to slip his leg out of that boat, put his feet on the water, because that word, that instruction came from the Lord. And so there's grace upon everything that he authors. And so when he gives you a word, he gives you an instruction, he gives you any direction, just know that this year, just know that this day, there's grace on that word. There's strength that's going to come from God. What he authors, he's able to finish.
That's
come on, Jesus.
Come on, Jesus. Oh, that's so
good. I don't know
good.
If y'all heard that or not, but a big old boom just detonated right
like,
as I said
ba-pow.
That. And so I think God was thundering, saying, amen.
There we go. It's the timing, man. You can't make that up.
Uh-uh.
You know, it's awesome. But again, we want to thank everyone for joining us today for the conversation for Family Mission Podcast. Boom. We want to again give you guys a chance. If you want to get in contact with us, talk to us, anything you want to hear us talk about
right.
on the show, any prayer requests, prayer testimonies, I mean, whatever it might mm-hmm. be you want to share with us, you can get in touch with us through our email,
mm-hmm.
spellmanministries@gmail.com. Again, that is spellmanministries@gmail.com. Or you can check out our Facebook page,
right.
Spellman Ministries on Facebook. You'll find it there. There's all kinds of cool stuff on there. There's tons of videos.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of resources on that Facebook page. There's also the Roar Revealing Our Amazing Redeemer Facebook page. They're tied together. You should be able to find them easily.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also our Instagram at Spellman Ministries on Instagram and our website.
Yeah, don't forget to check out the website, Spellman Ministries. .org. You'll find resources there that you can watch short videos. You can find out more about Family Mission. You can watch seven little short videos talking about the seven mission objectives of Family Mission.
That's right.
Also, there's downloadable PDFs, other resources available, and there's ways for you to partner with us. If you're interested in partnering with us, you can get information about that and click a link to support. Also, there's a place to sign up for a newsletter if you want to get more information about where we're going to be, what's been happening at Family Mission, and just get on the email. Plus, we do a weekly devotional on that email. So if you give us your email address, we'll send you a weekly devotional. It usually goes out Monday or Tuesday each week, and it'll come to your inbox, just a short little page and a half about just a quick read, but a good solid word for the day.
That's right. And again, keeping that word in the forefront of our mind, like Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
Amen.
Keep the word, keep him at the center and at the front of our lives every day. So we want to thank you so much for joining us on the Family Mission Podcast. So we want to leave you guys with this blessing really quickly. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.